Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about, as everyone heads into a new year with lots of goals and all of that good stuff, and a lot of those goals are going to be fat loss related. And normally I don't sort of delve into it too much because I think it probably gets a lot more airtime than it deserves, but it is something that's come up a few times in coaching over the last week, so I thought I'd talk about just some of the myths that surround it. I tend to try to go for like a pretty neutral approach, and what I mean by that is that I don't try to avoid having like a real sort of moral value about like depending on like what weight I am at any given time. And there has been times when I've been significantly heavier, but now for the most part, there's probably, you know, in the vicinity of a 10 to 15 kilo range. And that's, you know, pretty normal depending on what life is throwing at me. And I just try not to sort of think of one as good or one as bad. You know, like they both have benefits, they both have drawbacks. And there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it. And as far as running is concerned, what I really try to be aware of is like there's a real sort of like strong sense that you get from everywhere that lighter is faster, and it's not really true. Like stronger is faster, and obviously your like strength to weight ratio sort of matters, but I try to really kind of like look at the reality behind that. So like if I have that, and I certainly have had that idea in the past, but then what I've noticed is like actually I was like faster at this weight, which is actually like heavier than what my lightest weight has been, that kind of thing. So I just like to take notice of things that sort of like contradict the sort of like the common perception that is out there. And chances are, you know, like my fastest weight is probably less about the weight and more about like what that looks like in terms of what I'm actually eating, you know, like how I'm fueling things, you know, like that kind of thing. It's a lot more nuanced than just like one number. So yeah, regardless of what's going on, I tend to work pretty hard to have an appreciation for my body and what it can do regardless of like where that number ends up. And there are times when I'm really happy in a kind of in a more maintenance mode, or like I'm gonna sort of just be really relaxed with what I'm eating, and whatever the number on the scale ends up being, that's what it ends up being, and not really worrying about it too much. And then I have other times where I'm like, oh, you know, like I would like to enter into a bit of a fat loss phase. And I think probably like most people, that's probably unfair, not necessarily most people, but I think that there are like quite a few people who have probably gained more weight than they would like over the last couple of years with everything we've been dealing with. And some of those people are probably wanting to look at like ways that they can sort of either get back to where they were before, or just like improve some of the things, like maybe make a few changes and see where they end up, that kind of thing. And there are some really persistent and aggravating myths around this that come up. If you're a human who is on Facebook or any sort of digital platform where you receive ads, then you will be really familiar with this first one, which I'm going to mention, is that there is like somehow a type of training that is going to lead to an improved fat loss, like there's some kind of like magic bullet or something that's more efficient. You would have, like, I've seen low, so it's at the point like people know how much I hate them, so I now get tagged in some like truly atrocious ones, which I appreciate. And so one that got shared with me recently was like, you know, like run your way to a thigh gap. See a lot of ones which is like the perfect walking or the perfect running program for weight loss. You also see how things about how high intensity training is going to be more efficient at burning fat. You know, like there are a gazillion things out there claiming that they are the style of training for fat loss, and the reality is that there isn't one. And it probably, like in the grand scheme of your life, it probably has the least amount of impact on your fat loss than almost anything else, which is why it's so, it drives me so nuts when I see those ads, because it's a really seductive lie. Because of course, like if you could do a training program and maybe it was like 45 minutes, maybe it was four times a week, even if it was every day, whatever it is, something like that, that could lead you to a really clear pathway to fat loss, then like who wouldn't want to do that? You know, like because you've only got to commit to like the 40 minutes or the sessions or whatever, it's a really minute part of your day and then you're done. But the reality is that in the composition of, you know, like what you're eating, what your exercise and movement looks like, and how you're sleeping, what your exercise and movement looks like is really like it's important in that it helps, but compared to sleep and what your nutrition is like 24 hours a day, it really doesn't even register. So you see these kind of claims and it's really easy to believe that they're true. One, because you want it to be true, definitely, but also because it seems to confirm an experience that you've had in the past where you've probably not been doing much exercise. You sign up for a new training program and you lose a heap of weight and you say, yeah, that was really effective. But what's happening is like any kind of time you introduce something that's a really new stimulus like that, there is going to be like a strong reaction, but eventually your body will get used to it and, you know, and you will over time start to, you know, like eat more to fuel that and, you know, like all of that sort of stuff. And also over time, like if you are eating a certain amount and doing a certain amount of training, your body is going to adjust to be able to do that training and using less energy because it is not at all interested in, from an evolutionary standpoint, in losing fat. Because from an evolutionary standpoint, fat is good and it is going to protect you in periods of famine. So all of those things combine to make it feel like there is like a particular type of program and, you know, or a style of training, whether it be, you know, like low intensity or steady state or high intensity or only doing, you know, like high intensity but with weights, not with like running or, you know, like whatever it is. But there isn't one. And what is going to work for you is going to vary depending on your body and how you feel. So, you know, like for me, I've sort of done, you know, like changed training styles and done fat loss cycles and everything like that. And it hasn't really changed. The main thing that you want to be doing is you don't want to be making it too hard on yourself. So the reality is with any kind of fat loss, you're going to have to be in hopefully like a quite conservative calorie deficit. And so that means that for your training, you don't want that to be something that's really sort of like triggering your hunger. And that's going to really vary from person to person, you know, like because I've been running a long time, running doesn't really sort of like trigger that hunger response. Sometimes, definitely, if I do like a squat and deadlift day at the gym, it will, but that's okay. If I was doing loads and loads of high intensity, that would probably be like a little bit more challenging for me. Whereas for other people, they might find it's like actually like because I'm not particularly used to this like long time domain of low aerobic work, I'm actually better off like going and doing, you know, like a few like high intensity sprints. It doesn't make me super hungry and I can manage it, and you know, like it feels good in the week and I recover well. So it's really going to depend on the person there, but it's just important to pick something that you enjoy, because there are going to be times when you don't want to do it, and consistency is always going to be better than something necessarily being what's considered the most optimal. And also just know that there's no sort of like magic fat burning zone or, you know, thing that is targeting a particular thing. Like it, that doesn't exist. And it's so, you know, like a lot of times people will argue, oh, like doing low aerobic is a fat burning zone because you can, you know, utilize fat as a fuel source, and all of that sort of stuff. But it doesn't actually change anything. So whether you are doing, you know, all anaerobic work or aerobic work, doesn't matter. So just pick what you like and don't worry about the rest. And probably the second very persistent myth, which is connected to the first one, is just this idea of a spot training that you will see everywhere. So it's like, you know, a 30-day abs program or, you know, like, what did I see the other day? It was like, I wanted to, quote, tone my body using non-high intensity exercise. And like, got like non-high intensity exercise, fine, like no issue with that. But you aren't toning it with that. You're toning it by being in a calorie deficit and losing the fat which is covering your muscles. So there is nothing to support the idea of like spot training for like a particular area that you want to improve, beyond like if you're able to build up the muscle on there, then it might look nicer to you, because you've got the same amount of fat but more muscle. But for the most part, what people are talking about when they're talking about that kind of stuff is to do with fat loss, which is 100% to do with being in calorie deficit. So just, you know, and it's probably like even more the case with sort of like stuff to do with abs and core and everything like that, because ultimately when people, for the most part, when those programs are marketed, what they're marketing is you being able to have more defined abs, and there is only one way that is happening, and that is through fat loss, not through muscle gain. Bit different if you're talking about, say, like a booty program, which is aimed on building up your glutes, and then that's probably, you know, you can build up the muscle in specific areas, but you can't get shredded in specific areas just by doing exercise or training. It's just not going to happen. And the final big myth that you see around is that somehow there's a type of diet that is superior, and that's also not true. So whether you are doing vegetarian or vegan or high protein or paleo or keto or intermittent fasting or whatever it is, they all work exactly the same way, and that's with a calorie deficit. So it can come into play definitely in that there are things that, based on the individual, will be more sustainable for you and more enjoyable for you. So given like I do a lot better with a higher carb diet, you know, just probably with all of the running and everything. And so things like keto aren't overly sustainable for me. Certainly done low carb diets in the past, and it was fine, but it wasn't great. And it's a lot easier for me to eat meals with the family and everything like that on a more moderate diet. And it's one of those things where I kind of look at it like, if I'm gonna have like a really restrictive behavior, like a diet that has like hard sort of restrictions on it like that, there has to be like a pretty good upside to that. And as far as those things go, I haven't for myself found any like major upside to that. So I'm just better off doing something moderate. Like for other people, sometimes like two, it can just be like a lifestyle thing. So with the intermittent fasting, like for some people that works really well because you just, because there's a longer period of the day where you're not eating. And so then there's sort of some natural, it then is then easier to sort of like control the amount of that you are eating in the time that you have, because you just got less time. So you can create kind of like what feels like a more natural calorie deficit that way. But ultimately they all work exactly the same way. So it's just about finding something that you like and that works for you, and it also sort of like sits in with what your activities are. So, you know, if you do anything that involves, you know, sort of like long endurance or sort of like moderate to high intensity, then you're going to want something that has like a fair amount of carbohydrates in it. And it's also going to, like, how you work that out is probably also going to depend on your other dietary stuff. So because I'm vegetarian, with getting the kind of like the protein that I want, it's pretty hard for me to be super low fat. So I find like a moderate sort of mix of carbohydrates and fats works best for me, because it's not, doesn't make then that really difficult, because like for the vast majority of my protein is coming from things like tofu and dairy, and is then sort of supplemented by veggies and beans, and, you know, like I use some sort of like protein powders and stuff like after the gym and whatever. But because of that, it would be like a pretty strong dietary change to kind of like really restrict the fat. So I do better with sort of like quite like moderate on both ends, but you can just play around with what works for you. It's good to think of the whole thing is like a pyramid, where you're like, your base layer is just like the amount that you're eating. So, you know, like if you have a fat loss goal, then you want to sort of like maintain a very sort of like moderate deficit. So, you know, like at the moment, I guess my maintenance, I would guess, would probably be in the vicinity of, you know, 2000, and I'm probably aiming to eat like about 1700. So that's the kind of like deficit that you're sort of like aiming for, is something pretty sustainable. And once you are reliably hitting your intake for that, then you could start to think about, okay, like I want to hit this protein number and this carb number and this fat number, and keeping in mind that the so I tend to go off of like a relatively high protein, which is 2 grams per kilo, and then I do a kind of like even split between the carbs and the fats, like in terms of their caloric value. So because fat grams have more calories than carb grams, so it usually for me works out to be about 140 grams of protein, about, you know, 140 grams of carbs, and like probably about like 60 grams of fat, something like that. So that is sort of like the numbers that I go off, but it has been sort of like trial and error to get there. I've gone off things that are like higher carb, I've gone off things that are higher fat. I've like played around with switching between the two, you know, like it's just an experiment in what your body likes. And even like the type of protein, like I found having like a significant amount of like just sort of like plant-based protein, I felt better like on a bit more of the dairy protein. So, you know, like it is just a matter of like trying it out and seeing what works for you and what fits in with your lifestyle and everything like that. So if you are working on a goal like this at the moment, the first thing that I like to do is to just sort of do some tracking to get a sense of what you are actually eating over a period of 2 weeks without attempting to change that behavior, just so you get like a good picture of where you are at, and then you can sort of like see like maybe where there are things that you might like to change, and then go from there. And like I said, sort of like start with you know, like the most important thing, which is like getting your energy intake at a good level, and then you can like start focusing on sort of like smaller things from there. And it may also be looking at, you know, looking at a diary for like a couple of weeks and going, okay, like I think that I could sort of like add this extra bit of protein here. I think I could like take out this bit of like starch and add in some more veggies, you know, like you can sort of then play around with like how you want to sort of like make those changes. But I think that awareness is probably the most important thing, because I think it's a really easy thing to be pretty oblivious about. Like I know with like particularly with kids being on holidays and everything, and some of like their snack food is out and about really easily for me to wander into the kitchen and snack and not really think about it. And then you, when you track it, you're like, okay, it's a lot more going on than what I actually remember of the things that I'm eating. And I think it's also really good to have be sort of like also quite flexible with it. So, you know, like on any given week, there are probably going to be at least 2 days where I would go over what my goal is, and that's fine. Sometimes it will be because I've had like a, you know, like a big training session or whatever, but sometimes it's not. I think it's important to separate out, like it's not like a reward thing. Like sometimes I am extra hungry because of that, and that's fine. But also sometimes it's like it's a day where like I feel like I need like a little bit more nurturing, or I want something a bit more comforting, and that is just as valid and just as fine, you know. So I think not getting too rigid with it is also going to make it a lot more sustainable, and it's going to feel a lot less like hard work. And I also think being connected to how it impacts on other things, not just on the number on the scale, is also important. So, you know, like being aware of like, oh, I actually feel better in this workout, or like I feel like my skin's in really good shape because of the way I'm eating, or, you know, like all of those sorts of things, or I'm sleeping better, you know, all of those things are really good to keep at the top of mind. And also to take a look at the, in terms of the weight, that there's like sort of like a trend that's being followed, not like locking into what a number is on a particular day, because it, particularly for women, it's kind of fluctuate wildly. So it is going to be, it's going to be easily affected by big training sessions, like particularly if I've done like a weights training sessions, and that is going to like push that number up. Like if I've had something kind of like salty the night before, also going to push that number up. You know, it's going to go up when I have my period, you know, like all of that sort of stuff. So kind of looking at it as a trend over time, rather than like one particular number, is also gonna like help you to have like a bit more of a healthy relationship with it. And, you know, like keeping in mind that sometimes there's a bit of recomposition going on. So if you're relatively close, like if you're in only in like a slight deficit, or if you're at maintenance and you are making sure that your protein is high and you're doing strength training, there's a very real possibility that you are putting on muscle at the same time as losing some fat. And so your progress might be a little bit slower, but you're going to end up in a way better position overall. So just, I think, yeah, just not being too rigid with it and not becoming too obsessive with it and being flexible with things, I think is going to help to make it more sustainable over time, particularly when, you know, like dinners out come up, and rather than trying to sort of like track everything, I just don't worry about it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go out to dinner and enjoy it. On those days, usually like going out for food usually means that it's going to be sort of like higher carb and lower protein. So on those days, I will tend to make sure like I have like a really nice high protein breakfast. But other than that, I don't worry about it, because like it's one day, it's not going to make any difference. And I think that it's much more about, I think the sustainability factor is like much more about your mindset around it and like the sort of like the stories that you say. So, you know, like say, for example, if I have had like a much bigger day calorie wise than I normally would, then there are a whole bunch of ways that like I could internalize that. I could internalize that as I failed in my goal for the day. I could internalize that as, well, actually, like I was obviously that my body really needed this. Or, you know, like I could go, well, it wasn't really sort of training related, but, you know, like I needed this and I'll put those carbs to good use tomorrow when I go for a run, or what, or not, you know, like it's just, again, just like I try to be like body neutral, I try to be pretty food neutral in that, like this behavior isn't bad, this behavior isn't good, you know, like they all have their place, and how you are internalizing that mentally is going to play a huge role in like your sense of self, and also recognizing that there's not some like happiness at the end of this goal. You're going to probably feel exactly the same way as you did before. So with that in mind, that can really help you put this goal into a place where it is not going to be a negative mental health impact, which is the big risk of any kind of like fat loss, is that it's worse for your mental health than it is for like the health benefits that you get associated with the fat loss. So that's definitely something to consider. But I think that if you are able to sort of like create that flexibility and that sustainability, then it can be like quite a positive thing for mental health as well. So that is it for this week. Keep ignoring all of those bogus ads that you see, and just make sure that you don't get like sucked into the sort of like punishment reward dichotomy that this thing can often kind of lead to, which doesn't end anywhere good. You can send me questions in all the usual places, and I will speak to you next time.